All right, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, anywhere you are listening to the sound of my voice. A good day to you. I welcome you to another episode of Upper Room. This is an ongoing bi-monthly program geared towards apostolic recovery of the church. And the essence of gathering is to basically land in the Word of God, look at the Word of God and in perspective, and be able to place that alongside with our lives and see how we can allow the Spirit of God to help us to engineer the grace that God has given, the grace that is available in God's kingdom, and the grace God has given to us to be able to stay and remain established in the kingdom of God. Once again, I want to welcome each and every one of us, and I want to believe as we gather together to pray and to read the Word of God and to learn in the gospel of Christ. I want to believe that the Lord God Almighty is here to bless us in Jesus' name. All right, before we proceed, I want to believe our day is going on well. And of course, if your day is not too straightened, there is a need for you to sit back because God is in control. So you can always ask God next steps. You can always ask God for grace. You can always ask Him on the next step on what needs to be done. And I want to believe God will minister to us through His Holy Spirit and will bless our lives and will meet our needs in Jesus' name. This is Upper Room, and I want us to, of course, bow our heads as we pray together before we read and learn in the Word of God. Let's close our eyes as we pray. Our righteous God in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for today, for another interesting time in your presence, because we know that all things work together to them that believed and to them that trust God. We want to appreciate you for the gift of life. We want to thank you for making it possible for us to be gathered together in fellowship. I pray, O God, that the blessings and the benefits of obedience you will pour upon our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. I will pray that you will open our eyes to see and to be able to learn in your word and to be able to ask for grace and to be able to walk in the grace that you have made available unto us through your Son Jesus Christ today in our lives in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray, O God, that you bless us as we listen to your word and you will pour out your blessings upon our lives today. Thank you, Father, for now it is done. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, well, we'll be looking at another interesting subject. More often than not, we look at God's word in perspective and, read through the scriptures and to be able to, equip ourselves properly in order for us to be able to run in the race that is set before us and to make heaven, because that's the end goal, to make heaven at the end. And today I will be reading from the book of Saint Luke, the book of Luke, the gospel according to Saint Luke, chapter 18 in verse 1. Chapter 18 in verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men all ought always to pray and not to faint. And if speak a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So Jesus Christ in his capacity building exercise, equipping his disciples and, you know, putting them through how we ought to believe in as men, as people who are still in the world, who are pilgrims on earth. Now, he, in his capacity building exercise, he took them through different aspects of the kingdom and how we ought to believe in as men. And here, Jesus Christ was talking about the subject of prayer and wanted to educate his disciple for them to understand the shape of prayer, what prayer should be to man, and how men should embrace prayer and how they are supposed to be prayer people, praying people, basically. So that's what this chapter 1 talks about. And he speak a parable unto them to this end, that men ought. So it is supposed to be a duty amidst all the duties of men, probably walking every day of the week, or either eating food or either wearing clothes. So it's saying here we are supposed to bathe with prayer, eat with prayer, talk with prayer, and walk with prayer. Anything we do at all, prayer should revolve around prayer. That's what it's saying here. So that underlined word ought, always, always, always to pray. Men ought. So it is expected of men to pray all the time, every point in time, anywhere at all you find yourself, in a marketplace, at work, at home, anywhere at all. You are supposed to be in prayer, basically. So it's showing them the shape of prayer and how prayer should be in the life of anyone that wants to live in the world. You will see that in Christ's capacity building exercise, more often you would see the passage of scripture that talks about Simon Peter, James, and John. And then he took them up to a mountain, and then he prayed, and then he showed them, you know, the shape of prayer and all that. And then you will notice that Christ mentioned to them that the flesh is not willing to pray at all. And in our lives, we may have come to a point where we discover that we are struggling with our prayer life. So it shows that the flesh does not like to pray. Just maybe in case you wake up one day and then, oh, you're always waking up, going to work and all that. You probably take your bath, you do all the activities, and then before you set out for work. That is how prayer is supposed to be in the life of a man. If you like to eat, you must like to pray. Prayer will not happen just like that. It has to be intentional. So there must be an intentionality for you to pray. So Christ was intentional about going to the mountains to pray, going early in the morning to pray, always praying. And most of the time when he's praying, the disciples are sleeping because the flesh is, you know, at the point he said the spirit is willing in Mark 14, verse 38, he said the spirit is indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That means you want to pray, but you cannot pray. So what are those barriers that stand as an hindrance to you as an individual in praying? So there's a need for us to critically look into these details to be able to identify those barriers that stands in a place that deprive us from praying. It could be probably the bed you're sleeping on. Most of the time, the Spirit of God is willing to quicken us to pray. But then the flesh, we tend to obey the flesh rather than the Spirit, because the flesh stands as a barrier to a prayer, a praying to God. and are equipping ourselves to pray, basically. So that brings about broken refineries, because the refinery of our lives is our body. So the flesh, which, you know, Mark talks about here, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is always weak. So there are a lot of broken refineries. That means people who are unable to pray. And there is a need for us to critically analyze our lives. There are hidden barriers that we may see as, we may trivialize and then see, oh, well, it doesn't, I mean, I can sleep on my bed and pray. If you sleep on your bed and you pray for 2 minutes and then you sleep off, that means that bed is a barrier in your life. You need to get away from that bed and stand on the barefoot, or go to a different room, or go to a living room. Little experience about prayer, most of the time, you know, I don't get to enjoy prayer on bed. Some people can. They can stay on the bed. They can read books on the bed. You know, they can't sleep off. You know, it's just them, right? So rather than standing for hours, they rather lie down and pray, basically. So that works for them. But if that doesn't work for you, look for a right angle in your home, you know, and then pray there. Kneeling down, standing up, whichever way the Holy Spirit beats you, always pray. Perhaps you see yourself at work and then most of the time you're less busy. Instead of strolling on phone, the phone you are having could be a barrier to you. Prayer will not come to you ordinarily until you make up your mind to pray. You have to be intentional about prayer. So, in order for us to be able to pray effectively, in order for us to be able to even pray or utter the words of prayer, we have to process this, have it as a mindset that I have to pray. You have to pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. So the education Christ gave to the education Christ gave to the apostles in terms of prayer is to let them know that you have to pray now, because there are so many people who are sick, who have infirmities, who have challenges, who are depressed, who have different kind of afflictions going on around them, basically. And then right now, they are looking for solutions. And then to pray is a problem because they are not used to prayer. Now they are looking for people who lay hands and then pray for them, which is okay, right? What Christ was telling this the apostles and even the present day Christians is that we must pray. Prayer must be our lifestyle. We have to eat with it. We have to bathe with it. We have to talk with it. It has to be. Prayer is something that shapes our lives. It's part of our Christian experience. Our Christian living is part of our daily living. Perhaps you eat food before you eat, you pray. You are finished eating, you thank God for the food. And then you are going out to a grocery store, you pray. You come back from the grocery store, you pray. Prayer must be something that should be part of you. Now, in praying, the shape of prayer, depending on how the Holy Spirit leads you, you know, some will say, well, I can't pray for long. You can pray for long if the Holy Spirit quickens you. Yeah, perhaps you've heard people pray for 10 hours, 7 hours, 1 hour or so. You know, it's that you haven't experienced it doesn't mean that it cannot happen to you. When the Spirit quickens a man, there's no limit to how long the man can pray. There's no limit to how long the man can pray. There's a man called Pray Hyde. Prayer Height. They call him a Prayer Height basically because his name, I think his name got changed basically at some point because the man prayed to an extent that his kneels dug a hole on the floor. So that is what the Spirit of God does basically. When it takes a hold of a vessel, of a man, he quickens your spirit. You pray for 1 hour, it's as if you have not even prayed at all. You go another 1 hour, it is as if you are just starting. You go another, that is what the Spirit of Prayer does. When the Spirit of Prayer comes upon a man, it quickens your refinery. Because these days you have broken refineries everywhere. Broken refineries, men who cannot pray for 15 minutes, men who cannot pray for 10 minutes, but they can be on Instagram, they can be on Snapchat, they can be on TikTok, they can watch, you know, YouTube for hours, they can watch seasoned movies for 7 hours at a go, they can invest so much in those, but the place of prayer, their refineries are broken, basically. And then when they run into issues, when they have afflictions in their lives, they are looking for who to lay hands instead of them to embrace prayer. So Christ, Jesus Christ, educated his disciples about prayer. Men ought, it is a duty to pray. It's part of your responsibility, your living on earth to pray. You've come across a passage that says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. It talks about prayer, basically. Prayer must be part of your life. You cannot live in this life without prayer. Otherwise, your life will be a roller coaster, like a conveyor belt at the airport that takes people's bag and all that, and at the end of the day, you cannot really describe what your life looks like. Without prayer, you have a broken refinery. Without prayer, you won't be able to achieve the purpose of God for your life. You won't be able to. You can be making money, you can be working, you have a good job, good car, good house, and all that, but there is a purpose why God created you. So for you to be able to fulfill that prayer, that purpose, you have to come to the place of prayer. It starts with prayer. It ends with prayer. So I come to give us a charge to start learning the habit of praying now. Start learning the habit of praying now. Like I did say, the appetite, so many things will come at us. We have appetite for watching movies. For some is, you know, YouTube. For some, they're on Instagram. For some, they are watching, you know, soccer, you know, online, gaming, and some other things like that. Those appetites would have to die if you have to pray. Without those things dying, you would not be able to pray. The Spirit of God is looking for vessels to possess, to pray, right? And then you cannot be spending 7 hours on a seasoned movie and then you want to pray for another 7 hours. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work. It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. Nothing. There's nothing really that the flesh will give to you. That's what that means. The flesh is weak, it makes demands on you, but the Spirit is always there to quicken you if you are ready to pray. There are a lot of things that would not make us pray. For some, it's soccer. That soccer will have to die first. Some is their job. Maybe they work all round the clock. You would have to, and then take extra hours over time, and then, you know, and then and when they get back, they are tired, they are weak, they can, you know, and then so we need to start taking inventory of our lives and start taking our prayer life serious. Attending prayer meeting is good. Some will say, maybe if I attend prayer meeting for 1 month, maybe my prayer life will improve. You've forgotten that it's not everybody that comes for prayer meeting that is present to pray.
Not everybody. Prayer is a way of communicating with God. And in communicating with God, you need to avoid distractions. There are a lot of things that distract a man not to pray. So when you want to communicate with God, you need to avoid the distractions. Having a prayer partner is good, but without the readiness of the heart is a waste of time. So I'm going to say, maybe if I have a prayer partner, I'll be gingered up. I'll be, no, sir. That's not how it works. You, personally, you have to be ready to pray. Prayer will not, you know, when Jesus took, let's read the passage of scripture, Mark 14, verse 38. Mark 14, verse 38. We'll look at that quickly here. Mark 14, verse 38. Mark 14, 38. I want to point our attention to that passage of scripture. It says here in verse 38, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep, for their eyes were heavy, neither would they have to answer him. And he cometh the third time and said unto them, "Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough." So it is important that we understand. In verse 37 it says, "And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour?" So they can't even stay an hour. They can't even stay. There are some of us, we can't even stay 5 minutes. We'll be grumbling. We want to quickly grab our phone. Some of us, we have to put our phones outside of the door and tell somebody to lock the door from outside. Yes, it is that serious. When it comes to prayer, prayer is a very serious, is a way, that's the only way you can be effective as a Christian. Without prayer, you are nothing. You are nothing without prayer. Prayer shapes the life of a man. Prayer will shape. That's the only thing that can command a man's obedience. Yes. Compliance to the will of God. And doing things the way God wants it. In the Holy Spirit, when you go to pray, you are praying to God. God, okay, what would you have me do? Okay, how do you want us to handle this situation? Okay, do you want me to take this job and all that? That's the language everyone understand. Prayer. You have to pray. You have to. That's the reason why, you know, praying. Paul the Apostle talks about, you know, praying always in the book of Ephesians 6 verse 18. And praying without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, you know. And he was speaking to Timothy at some point, and he said, he wished that men pray everywhere, you know, lifting up holy hands and all. So you cannot succeed in either evangelism, educating someone, or anything at all without prayer. You cannot. There's no way. You can't get insights into the answer you are looking for without prayer. So what you have, what people have now, is the flesh will suggest to you. A lot of people will come and say, I'm led. It's good to be led, but we have to look at where you are led from. Are you led by the flesh? Are you led by the flesh? So it's not enough for someone to say, I'm led. No. How are you led? Let's ask that question. How are you led? So the flesh will suggest a lot of things to us. The flesh does not like to pray. So some of us, we have to, that phone that is distracting us, we'll put it outside, lock. Lock it. Some of us it's some other things. Maybe the TV we have, maybe we just bought a new TV, and then probably a new video game, and then we have to go and dispose of that video game before we can pray. So you have to look within yourself and start analyzing what is depriving me from praying? What is that thing that is affecting my prayer life? Because without prayer, this world we are living in is not normal. It's not a normal world. It's a strange world. And for you to be successful, for you to be able to fulfill the purpose of God for your life, you need to go in the place, you need to be buried in prayers. You need to soak yourself with prayers. Some of us, it will take a long time, praying for long before our spirit can be quickened. Not a prayer of 15 minutes. Not a prayer of 15. I see, you know, I just laugh. Some people will say they prayed and they feel it. They pray for 15 minutes, 10 minutes, and they feel it. You can't pray for 10, because for your prayer to ascend to it, your prayer has not even gotten over outside of your roof. You pray for 10 minutes and your prayer, you want it to be outside of you. You need to pray for your quickening to be quickened, for your spirit to be quickened, for your soul to be awake. You need to pray for long before that will happen. Some of us, our cell phone has taken over our soul. Some of us, our TV has taken over our soul. Some of us, a lot of things have taken over our soul. Some of us is food. Food. Some of us, when we are praying like this, when you start observing and start carrying out praying exercise, there are a lot of things that will call your attention. So that person has just sent you a message. Go and check your phone. Go and check. And there's a lot of noises going on and troubling your soul, because your soul for a very long time has been trapped in those activities that you have on your phone. For a very long time, not 1 year, not 2 years, not 5 years, for a very long time. So you need to, that flesh has to die first before it can be quickened. It has to die. You have to die to self, die to food, die to TV, die to phone. It has to be a crucified flesh before it can be quickened. Someone was asking Paul in one of his letters. He said, how are the saints quickened? How are they? Is it on the with this body or not? He said that you can't be raptured. Your spirit can't be awake without dying first. It has to die first. So some of us is as you are praying, maybe you are praying in your room, and then the something is saying, open the fridge. There's a vanilla yogurt, or there is one ice cream there. Open the fridge. And the thing is screaming on your soul. It's screaming. It's saying that food, you have to eat it. And it's screaming. It's placing demand on your soul, because you are used to eating a lot. Any small thing, let me grab something to eat. That is what commands you. And saying, that person has, the new season movie. Look at the trailer. Look at the highlight. What is just 1 minute?